I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How's that?
Try that again.
How's that, Paul?
That's much better. Okay, I'm recording now. Okay. Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, the weekly spin-off podcast for Loose Units, the podcast. I said podcast a lot just now. I'm Paul Verhoeven. My dad, John Verhoeven, is sitting across from me. Dad, I'm not sure if you felt this, but you're over in Sydney. Did you feel the earthquake that we had in Melbourne?
No, but I did feel the extreme anxiety when Tegan called me.
Yeah, well, because we were in the bathroom at the time, and I'm not sure how many of our listeners are in Victoria and how many are not, but basically, there was a earthquake originating several hours to the north, and I've forgotten the name, Mansfield, that's where it originated. And it was around a 6.0, I think, in terms of magnitude, which is, like, not insignificant. And we were in the bathroom, and the entire apartment started to just rock back and forth, basically. Stuff fell off shelves, we had to kind of run out of the bathroom and hold. I mean, it was crazy.
Incredible.
And the first thing I did was get in touch with my sensei, because she's from Tokyo, she grew up in Tokyo. And she was telling me that in school over there, you get given these hats, which are basically like, it's like inflatable. It's sort of like it's like an inflatable mattress that wraps around your head to stop debris falling on you. So
It's probably also for when you're crushed by the apartments above you, for the ease of identification, your brain matter and head and skull will be kept in one nice little neat area. That's kind of putting a little. I mean, do you have to blow the cap up, or is it already blown up?
That's a good question.
As the building's collapsing around you, you're running around looking to like a blow up a duck.
Yeah,
I mean that's
well,
bizarre.
It's like a pool toy that you kind of wrap around your head, and then as the masonry's crumbling, you're like just frantically. I mean, one of the things I always marveled at on flights, right, on planes, is that they give you a life jacket that you would then have to blow into to inflate yourself, right? That's crazy. Just pull a toggle, have it. I don't know.
But Paul, when you're in a plane, I mean, I'm very, very attentive watching the, you know, they do that sort of spiel
the safety thing,
at the beginning. And I'm really actually listening. And what infuriates me on planes is people that just blatantly kind of don't even acknowledge that it's happening. And a kind of a tiny part of me, a weird tiny, tiny part of me, almost hopes that we do have a crash. And then they'll be thinking to themselves, golly, I wish I'd actually listened and watched. And it's so sad. I look at the faces on the staff from a distant memory when we did fly. And I kind of, you know, and even people that sit in emergency seats, which is very responsible, isn't it? That's a serious role.
Yeah.
Would you agree? And some of those people just zone out, and the staff actually have to come and tap them on the shoulder and say, you know, you're sitting in a really special, because, you know, you get that special, you know, chat just to people in those rows. So, yes, and what I thought was really sweet and lovely was that Tegan called me, I assume, pretty well. I was the first person she called?
I think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
And I was totally flabbergasted. And it's an honour and a privilege, and thank you very much, Tegan, for thinking that I would be able to offer this sort of incredible advice. I think I gave some fairly good advice.
What did you tell her? Because I don't know.
I said to go into the main sort of hallway area, because you didn't know it was an earthquake. It could have been an explosion or something.
Our actual thought was, because we just bought this place, my thought was, okay, finally got a house, and now, of all times, some construction worker has knocked some load-bearing beam down in the parking lot, and the whole building's going to collapse. That was my thought. Weirdly, when Tegan started going, oh, shit, it's an earthquake, I was slightly comforted in that at least I knew it wasn't just some vengeful god, you know, going after us alone.
Yes, but imagine, Paul, if the two of you had have sort of looked out your balcony onto... Imagine if you'd seen your local railway station just gone, like fallen into a sinkhole. And imagine if all the tracks were all buckled and there had been a train on top of another building.
Oh, messed up. Because around the corner from us is, or quite close to us, is a place called Betty's Burgers. Or rather was a place called Betty's Burgers, which, I mean, there was some sort of problem with one of the walls. And if you look it up online, you'll see that this place pretty much collapsed. I mean, it just, like, the side of this building collapsed. And then there's a side street that Tegan and I walked down to go to shopping, and we were heading down there to kind of just see what was happening on Chapel Street. And it was covered in masonry. This three-story building next to it was very old and had basically the side of the wall had collapsed. And if we'd been walking there at that point, we would have been screwed. So, scary.
Also, yeah, but also what I did, which I thought was pretty good, was that while I was talking to Tegan, I went into a site that had real-time earthquake information. Like, we're talking real-time. And guess what?
What?
It said nothing. And I said to Tegan, no, I'm sorry, it's not an earthquake. There's been nothing, no seismic activity in the last 24 hours. And I was completely wrong. But I did make an effort. I just want you to know that, Paul, because when you called me back, you were slightly odd, I thought. Thinking that I hadn't done it, you know, that I was wrong.
I thought we were being gaslit a little bit. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure it was an earthquake. I mean, we were walking around, everyone was in a state of shock. I mean, it's crazy. Chapel Street got hit pretty hard. I know there was an earthquake back in 1989 in, I think, was it Gosford? A couple of buildings collapsed. 12 people died, I think. And I was talking to Mum yesterday after the earthquake happened, and she said that that's the year that there was an earthquake at the schoolhouse where we were living at that point. Is that true?
I'm not sure. I don't recall. But it's funny that it happened. Not funny, but it's kind of a bit surreal that it happened on a pretty tumultuous day in Melbourne in the CBD with all the shenanigans going on, which is kind of disappointing, and I'm a little bit sad about that. It's just, you know, pretty weird times. But, dearest Paul.
Yes.
And listeners. Now, you know how kind of slightly odd things happen? Well, to me, I think, is fair to say. So, if I can just set the picture, bearing in mind, Paul, you don't know what I'm about to talk about, which is always gets your little freckle oscillating slightly. But I'm sitting on the lounge this morning, and I've got 24,000 photographs that I've taken. You ready for this?
Yep.
I'm almost forensically examining one particular photograph. Hand on heart, this is dead set what I'm about to tell you. So, this is a photograph of the Sydney Harbour Bridge that I took a few days ago. I took quite a few shots because when I was a young boy and a super thrill seeker, I used to occasionally climb the Harbour Bridge from the roadway. Did you know that?
No.
And I did it with a friend of mine, and it was so dangerous. It was so scary. I remember one night we did it and there was a storm. It was pissing down, and I remember my jacket was blowing in the wind, and I literally had a leg either side, so I was straddling a beam and I was sort of crossing it, and I could look down into the glistening water. I mean, it was quite foolhardy, but I did quite enjoy myself.
Crazy, yeah.
Obviously, I survived. So Christine, we walked underneath the Harbour Bridge on the weekend. Christine says, John, why don't you take a photograph of that particular part on the bridge that you used to climb? And we thought we could perhaps share that sometime. So I'm sitting there this morning examining this photograph, and then Christine gives me the name of this person, And she says, have you ever heard of this guy? And I said, no. And I read a bit of a spiel, and then I thought, you know what? In these troubling times, I thought it would be wonderful to share with the listeners an extraordinary story. And you're going to see how it all ties together with the Harper Bridge shortly.
Okay.
But Paul, can I just say to you, have you ever heard of a guy called Lenny Gwaitha?
No.
Never. And nor had I. I've never, ever, ever heard of Lenny Gwaitha. And at this point, I'm thinking, how many of the listeners will have heard of him? So may I please enlighten you?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Lenny Gwaitha was born on the 18th of April, 1922. He was an Australian figure of significance due to his 1932 solo horseback journey as a 9-year-old boy from Leongatha, Victoria, to Sydney, New South Wales. He was accompanied by his horse, Ginger Mick. Gwaitha undertook a 1,000-kilometre, that's 620-mile journey, to watch the opening, get ready for this, of the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Right.
He was born in Leongatha in April 1922 to his parents. The dad was a captain. On his second birthday, get ready for this, listeners, he was given a chestnut pony. Imagine giving a 2-year-old a pony, and the pony was called Ginger Mick, who shared his birthday. When Lenny was 9, his father broke his leg while working on the farm. So while the dad was in hospital, Lenny took over the entire responsibilities of the farm. Paul, he's 9. He ploughed 24 fields. He worked day and night. He's a 9-year-old, him and his little horse. And when the dad came back from hospital, the parents wanted to come up with some sort of reward for his work. And Lenny, as a 9-year-old, asked to attend the opening of the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
He had a serious interest in engineering and construction of bridges. So his mother, Clara Gwaitha, was unsure of this arrangement, but due to the fulfilment of his duties, communication with those in Sydney, and a map Lenny and his father created, the mum allowed Lenny to go. So on the 3rd of February 1932, Lenny and Ginger Mick left Leongatha on the expedition. Can you imagine? It's the Depression. You're saying goodbye to your 9-year-old son who's going to ride 1,000 kilometres by himself on a horse. Is this incredible?
Hmm.
And he carried in his haversack his toothbrush, silk pyjamas, spare clothes and a water bottle. Now, his journey was widely publicised in the media, particularly the newspapers. Frequent updates regarding his whereabouts led Lenny to encounter experiences that were unprecedented on his departure. For example, outside Parliament House in Canberra, he met up with Prime Minister Joseph Lyons and was asked to go into Parliament House and have afternoon tea with the Prime Minister.
On the horse or on foot?
Not sure. Great question.
Okay.
Other instances include he was attacked by vagabonds. He was met with a huge bushfire. He kept going. And then in Sydney, he met the Lord Mayor, Sir Samuel Walder, while also looking at Circular Quay, Bondi Beach and Taronga Zoo, where he rode an elephant, something that I didn't get to do when I was a little boy, which is very sad. It's another story. So he arrives in Martin Place accompanied by 25 police. This is this nine-year-old with 10,000 cheering citizens. The Secretary of the Royal Agricultural Society, Colonel Somerville, also greeted him. He was wearing khaki breeches, boots and leggings and a thick coat and was carrying a cloth sun hat in his hand. Then, get ready for this, on the 19th of March 1932, Gwaitha with Ginger Mick participated in the Royal Easter Show and paraded across the Sydney Harbour Bridge at its opening.
Huh.
And then, get ready for this, he goes to the Sydney Cricket Ground, he's still a nine-year-old, he's had all this happen, and he meets Don Bradman, and Don Bradman presents him with a signed cricket bat. Is this, can you believe it, Paul?
It's crazy.
It's an insane story, it's a beautiful story, it's a positive story, and I wanted to share that with you and the listeners because it's a feel-good story.
So, so was there some sort of dedication to him on the bridge that you saw or something? Or
No, I was just looking at studying the actual bridge.
Right, okay.
Looking at photos of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, Christine walks over, hands me this little bit of information. I did a bit more research.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this town is a bronze statue of him and his horse.
Yeah, okay.
And don't you just think that that's kind of a particularly... I think it's a great story.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah. I find it interesting that, I mean, the bridge is a really... It's a really odd place. I don't know how many listeners have been to the Harbour Bridge or climbed the Harbour Bridge. I remember one of the things you told me growing up a lot was that Paul Hogan worked on the restoration of the bridge. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was a... He just worked as a rigger. So he was sort of working because that bridge is continually maintained. In fact, I look at the bridge sometimes from various locations and you can see bits of it sort of flaking away. You can see rust. And I'm thinking to myself, is it possible for this structure...
To collapse?
Well, it just seems weird. I mean, you know, it's already been up since the early 1930s,
mm-hmm.
which means... It's getting close to 100 years.
Here's a question for you, Dad. How do you think the bridge would fare during an earthquake? I mean, like a decent-sized earthquake happening. Because we obviously got like a diminished aftershock kind of, you know, like a... You know, we didn't cop the full blow of the thing in Melbourne, but I would be really curious to see if the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which, as you said, is a very old structure and a very big structure, could actually withstand that kind of thing.
Well, one would hope it could, but you've seen that famous footage of the bridge in, I think it's in America somewhere, where it's sort of literally, have you seen that famous footage where it's just, it's throwing people around like some sort of demonic novelty ride at Luna Park.
Mm.
It's just thrashing and twisting and curving. They are, of course, they're designed to be able to sort of, you know, move. But look, something else I was thinking, Paul, is that, you know, you and Tegan in your building, you need to go and... I think the body corporate really need to get together and at least get an engineer to come out and inspect the building.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've really got to be careful. Because there could be things that have happened that you just can't see.
Mm.
And you've got to make sure the integrity is sort of, you know, sound. But I have never experienced... I just can't imagine what an earthquake... is actually like. I mean, I don't understand how things can move around and not everything just doesn't crack.
Well, yeah, the thing is we had... Okay, so Tegan's mum was driving along a country road a couple of months back in her, like, four-wheel drive, a fairly new one, and she passed another vehicle and the skylight exploded and she had to pull it. Like, it shattered and exploded. Now, nothing touched the vehicle, but what we think happened and what people have since explained probably happened was that the air pressure between the two vehicles heading at that speed basically gently squeezed the chassis of the car and then popped the window.
That's incredible. That's I've never ever heard of that happening.
But by that rationale, I was sitting there, and because our glass kind of partition, you know, the door is, it's glass, right?
Mm.
So if the walls are moving and swaying that much, how did the same thing not happen? How do windows not explode in their frames when buildings move that much. And maybe they do. I mean, maybe in a proper full-blown earthquake where things are... Because don't get me wrong, it was pretty scary, but it was not... I mean, I can imagine how bad the real thing is. I know that in Tokyo, and I learned this from my sensei the other day, that yesterday, that basically in Tokyo, every building is, I think, earthquake-proofed up to a magnitude of 8, including the old buildings, including old temples and stuff. So basically, but in Australia, we have two problems with our buildings. They're not insulated for temperature variations properly. So if you go to Europe and it's freezing cold, you're not cold indoors because every building is insulated because they've gone, well, we need to kind of factor in these things. And we also don't earthquake-proof any of our buildings. So I had a German classmate in my class who was sitting here going, first of all, you don't insulate your buildings. And then I have my teacher going, all right, well, you know, none of the buildings are earthquake-proof. If the temperatures change aggressively and we start getting more fault line activity, we're screwed here. Like, we don't have any protection against it.
I guess also you and Tegan always from now on and everyone should always have a plan where you actually... you know, decide if it happens again what you're going to do. Are you going to stay in your apartment or are you going to go out? But if you run out, you've got to be really careful. You've got to stay well away from buildings because if a whole wall falls, well, it's got a very, very big reach. So, golly, what to do? You know all your really beautiful Lego figures and all your... Did any of those fall over?
No, the only thing that fell over was a Japanese vase that you gave us. A very, very old Japanese vase, but it's... What's it made of? It's made of steel, iron, it's made of...
Bronze.
It's bronze, sorry, yeah. So it's bronze. So it took a chunk out of our floorboards, but it's completely intact, so...
Well, oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
Have you had any aftershocks?
No, but apparently there's going to be some potentially over the coming days. So I think we're going to try and stay pretty central. And because the TV was wobbling and almost fell over. We've got a big flat screen thing that was kind of teetering. So we had to run and grab that. So hopefully there's no... It's pretty scary. And oh my God, I really hope there's no more earthquakes. Because you know what? It's like a bingo card of weird, horrible stuff that's been happening over the past few years. Especially this year. And...
We go to our local laundry. We have a really good laundry here, but we don't use it because they've opened up this crazy laundrette very close by, and it's just it's almost like a religious experience going there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I walked up with I reckon, golly, at least 20 kilos of washing, all the sheets and things, and walking up. It's a glorious day in Sydney. It's sunny. It's just, it's perfect. But everyone's wearing masks. And even though I get the mask thing occasionally, it seems quite surreal. And sometimes, like last week, I'm not sure whether I mentioned, I got out of the car and went to the hardware store. Did I tell you? And I forgot my mask.
Yes, you did mention that.
And I didn't know about it. And you're thinking, hang on a sec, why is everyone staring at me? And it's just, we have a person in our neighbourhood who's just sold his, he owned the entire building. We're talking, you can't imagine. He's so rich, this guy. He refuses to wear a mask completely.
Yeah, we've noticed a lot of people with, let's just say, a little more wealth are kind of wandering around, not really giving a shit.
It's this guy. Yeah. He's just, you know, I just find it. I find it disappointing, and because the thing is that we're all in this, and I just I despair. It's tough.
Yep. Look, despair is a completely natural reaction, but like I said, the bingo card of 2021 I think is pretty much tapped out. Knock on wood. So hopefully the year kind of takes a goddamn chill pill. And hopefully all of you are doing okay. And we hope you're all looking forward to the end of this season of Loose Units, which is, you know, just around the corner. So make sure you get ready for that. And we hope you all have a good weekend. If you watch the AFL, hope you enjoy the grand final this weekend. We are backing Melbourne. I don't know if any of you are AFL supporters. Of course you are. There's a lot of people out there really excited about having this, having a night grand final, I think. It's weird. This year, sport has become the one thing that kind of got me through, so I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, enough waffling from me and Dad. We hope you have a really great weekend, and we can't wait to see you first thing next week for more Loose Units. Have a good one, everyone. Bye.
Cheerio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.